Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am beyond excited about today's episode, all about dopamine. I've done an episode or two on dopamine before. I've talked about the book Dopamine Nation. If you like more science-based reading, Dopamine Nation is a really solid one. I will link it up in the show description. But if you are not a reader or you just want to know, hey, get to the good stuff in terms of why this matters and what I should do about it, we are going to go there today. This is related to cravings and also behavioral patterns that we have a hard time getting out of. That could be alcohol, it could be binge eating, it could be scrolling on social media, gambling, you name it, drug use. All of these things tie back to a neurotransmitter referred to as dopamine. Dopamine is a chemical messenger. That's what it means to be a neurotransmitter, kind of transmitting signals primarily in the brain. And it is involved with processing reward. So when we feel like there's a payoff to a behavior, you have chocolate and you're like, oh, that hit the spot. You have the alcohol and it feels like you gave yourself a treat. That feeling is due primarily to the presence, the release of this neurotransmitter, dopamine. But it's not just involved with reward. It's also involved in motivation and feelings of pleasure. Generally speaking, the more dopamine a drug or a behavior releases upon doing it, ingesting it, the more addictive that behavior or that substance is. The thing is, it's not item by item. So it's not like chocolate releases this much and heroin releases this much, because it's different based on the individual. So you might do something that is very pleasurable or rewarding to you, and you experience a significant release of dopamine in response to that. But if I do it, it just doesn't hit the same way. So I need you to understand this. We love concrete things. We want to know, hey, soda has less of this addictive quality than chocolate, and alcohol has more than chocolate, but it's not that clear cut, because there is variation for every individual. And a lot of it depends on behavioral patterns. So what you experience as significantly producing dopamine or more addictive in your 20s might not be the same for you when you're in your 40s or your 50s or your 60s. This matters because we live in a world where we're constantly seeking pleasure. And that isn't, so many of us think of pleasure as like, oh, I'm going on vacation and that's pleasurable, but there's nothing in my day-to-day life that's pleasurable. That's just not the case. For most people, seeing a new text message come in and seeing that alert pop up on your phone stimulates a release of dopamine, even if you wouldn't consciously associate that as a pleasurable thing. You might not observe your binge eating behavior as pleasurable. In fact, you might think of it as quite painful and being met with a lot of resistance, but it still is happening through that chemical pathway in the brain, and it is involving that pleasure center, the dopamine response system. We can experience this when we are binge watching something on Netflix or when we are scrolling on social media. And that's why we want to pick up our phones again and again and again. And it feels really uncomfortable to not do it. If you have ever tried to stop eating sugar or be on your phone less, you feel that tension, that drive for the behavior, and that feeling comes from this dopamine pathway. Something that's very important to understand about this pathway as we seek to control it more than it controls us is that the system wants to remain level. So if you initiate a little bit of a pleasure response, either from scrolling on Instagram or checking your text messages, watching funny TikTok videos, eating a piece of chocolate, your body responds with a little bit of pain. The author of the book Dopamine Nation, she describes it as like a seesaw, a teeter-totter. And she goes into this a lot more in her book, which again, I will link up in the show description if you want to check it out. But if you know how a seesaw, a teeter-totter works, when one side goes down, the other side wants to compensate, right? It goes up sort of an equal and opposing measure. So if we hop on the pleasure side of the seesaw, our body responds with a little bit of pain. Now, you might be like, I don't feel pain when I eat chocolate. What kind of pain are we talking about? Have you ever had a bite of that thing, a piece of that thing, and then you feel the tension of wanting more? Like, oh, I just really want another piece. That is that equal and opposite force. The longing, the wanting, the craving, that is the pain response. And often it is not even conscious. Most of the time, this is not a pain or a discomfort that you're even conscious of. It's just how it feels to you. You have one and you don't want to stop. But what is actually happening is you experienced this dopamine response, this pleasure pathway getting turned on, and now you feel this discomfort, this tension. That is the pain balancing out. Some people experience it as craving, but other times it might just be that you feel irritable or discontent. You know, you are trying to be on your phone less, and so you set it down, and then you just feel kind of uncomfortable. You're very aware that you just want to grab your phone, but you feel like you can't and you shouldn't, and you perceive that as just thoughts. But this is actually a biochemical pathway that is activated in your brain in response to pleasure. Not having that thing, whether it's not having another glass of wine, not having another piece of chocolate, not watching another episode, whatever that is for you, not having it increases the discomfort, increases the restlessness, the longing, and the desire to recreate that feeling of pleasure. Maybe you're preoccupied with that desire. In some cases, this is really subtle and you don't even notice it, but it still is biochemically happening in this pleasure pain pathway in your brain. And for a lot of people, it's very clear. It's very obvious. It creates a ton of tension, and maybe they didn't know that it was a biochemical signaling issue, but it is. One thing that I had not heard of in the description of dopamine and what it feels like that I loved, and I heard this from a gentleman named Vince Pitstick. He talks about dopamine as how we wrestle for certainty. And I don't mean certainty in terms of knowing the right answer, but let me try to describe it this way. Have you ever had a stressful day and your desire is to eat? Or maybe you are really, really overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, you just want to have a drink, or you want to escape with watching some series on TV that's completely mindless. What we are feeling when we want to give ourselves something to take the edge off is certainty. Now, for a lot of folks, I had to really think about this for a long time, because most of us think of certainty as knowing. But what it really is a pattern of completion. Not having to sit with longing or wanting or discomfort. And so we can eliminate that feeling if we bring it to its completion. So it allows us to give us this certainty. We have this craving. We really want to binge. What we want is this resolution. Call it certainty. And that is a sign that dopamine is just wanting to get pinged. We want that experience of pleasure, reward, escape. And I love thinking of it as certainty because it's almost like the phone is ringing and we have to decide if we're going to pick up or not, right? So you think of that craving, of that longing, that I want to execute this behavior, or I want to have this substance. The phone is ringing. If you pick up, you're just reinforcing the pattern, right? Meaning if you have the second piece of chocolate, if you go to the pantry, if you have the glass of wine, if you watch the next TikTok video, if you sit in front of the couch and put Netflix on, then you are basically answering the call because you're not willing to just let it be unresolved. This is why it is so destructive for young people to have so much media access. And I don't mean like CNN media access. I mean tablets and phones and this and that. We were recently at a family function. And my kids, just for reference, my son Roman is almost 3, and our twins Piper and Charlie are 18 months old. And inevitably, if we are at this family function, like they're restless and they're distracted. And there was another family there that had kids that were a little bit older than ours, but they sat at the table and they pulled out their iPads and they plugged in their headphones to their iPads and they were completely occupied for the entire time. They didn't make a peep. They didn't talk to anybody. And we see this a lot at restaurants too. And every time I comment to my husband and I say, I understand that parenting decision because it definitely makes it easier and you as an adult can enjoy yourself more if you're not trying to wrangle your kids and keep them entertained. However, it means that every time they have that desire for entertainment, that longing, the phone is ringing, right? And then you pick up and you are giving them that certainty. You're not making them sit with the discomfort. And then they have that expectation and they can't be without it, right? I don't want my kids to feel like they need to be constantly entertained. And yet, as adults, here we are needing to be constantly entertained, checking the notifications on Facebook or Instagram, picking up the phone, looking at the texts, listening to the podcast, listening to the music, totally ill-equipped to deal with this sense of discomfort. The phone is ringing and we need to pick up, meaning we have a desire for something to be entertained, to be stimulated. It's a trigger dopamine, 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 dopamine. And I'm so conscious of not wanting to create those patterns for my kids, but at the same time, I have those patterns for myself. And so that the opportunity for us is to feel that rising tension, the I need to be entertained, I need to give myself some sort of rewarding or pleasurable stimulus, and just be like, I'm not picking up. Because if we do that, then we constantly need that. And here's what's crazy. Over time, the amount of pleasure that stimulus brings to you goes down. And so now we need more and more, not only to feel that amount of pleasure, but even just to feel normal. And this is one of the huge reasons that we have such insane prevalence of anxiety and depression and mental health disorders. This is why first world countries like the United States, but not only the United States, while we have more access and more resources, we have more mental health issues. And so much of this is because we live in this dopamine-rich society. And our brain wants to jump to old patterns of completion, and we let it. And then we don't feel okay without it. And it takes more and more for us to feel pleasure, and we're dropping below baseline. We see this quantitatively, that not only does the rewarding thing give us less pleasure, but then we don't just go to baseline, we kind of go even below baseline. It actually works a lot like blood sugar. And I mean in terms of like peaks and valleys, not in terms of insulin or anything like that. But what we see with blood sugar is that if we have some sugar, blood sugar goes up, but then it comes down. And usually it goes down below baseline. And then the response to that drop below baseline is craving or irritability or low energy levels or hunger. And so then we just get in this cycle where it's like we have a little bit more and then we're up. But then if we go up, we have to come back down. And that's a very similar pattern that we see with dopamine. And we have control of whether we're just in the cycle. I want it, so I'm going to have it. But now I feel crappy, so now I need more. And now I feel worse, so now I need more. And now I feel uncomfortable, so now I need more. And we get to break that pattern. We get to break that pattern. The body wants it to be level. But if every single time we feel this compensatory reaction of discomfort after something that is rewarding or pleasurable, and then we're like, oh gosh, I'm uncomfortable. I have to make that stop. I need to resolve that. The phone is ringing. I need to answer. We're just back in the cycle. Back in the cycle. For every pleasure, we pay a price. But if we can just ride that out and not constantly be like, I'm bored, I need my phone. I'm craving something, I need to have it. I have this pattern of behavior that I want to default to. I want to respond this way. I want to eat this way. I want to choose this thing. If we will just ride it out, then we are controlling this pathway instead of letting this pathway control us. So we don't get to the point where we not only need it to feel pleasure, but we just need it to feel normal because we've disrupted the balance so much for so long. There's something called the plenty paradox that they talk about in this book, Dopamine Nation. And the plenty paradox refers to the fact that overabundance itself becomes a stressor. And it's this mismatch between our primitive wiring and our modern dopamine-rich ecosystem. And you would think that the more that we have, the happier we are, but it's not that way at all because we're not conscious of this process and we're not in control of this process. And so more pleasure makes us want more pleasure, but then that pleasure isn't as pleasurable. And so we need even more of it. And then we fall even further below baseline. So we need even more of it. And we're not practiced. We're not in the habit of just saying, I need to ride this out, so that I'm not a hamster on a wheel chasing this feeling of completion, this feeling of certainty. Again, not certainty in the way of knowing, but certainty in the way of the phone rang and I have to answer it. I can't just let the phone ring. Yeah, you can. Not only, yeah, you can, you need to. You need to if you want to be healthy, especially healthy mentally. We're exposing ourselves to too many high reward substances. It could start with checking your phone first thing in the morning and then having your coffee and putting the sugar in it. And you're like, what's the problem with coffee? In and of itself, nothing. But we're just going from one pleasurable thing to the next pleasurable thing to the next pleasurable thing. And the second we start to feel discomfort, we need more pleasure. That is a problem. That is a problem for our mental health, if nothing else. It's certainly a problem for our ability to be self-controlled and pursue our goals in a meaningful way, right? You get up, you check your phone, you get your coffee, you want something sweet, you need to have something sweet. That tension isn't something that you're willing to wrestle with, and on and on and on. You check social media again. You get the text messages. You're watching a show or listening to a podcast on the way to work. You're not content to just be with silence. We have to restore our sensitivity to high reward substances instead of just having one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, because we put ourselves in a dopamine deficit state. And that dopamine deficit state is not only unhappy, but it makes it very hard to experience pleasure and have pleasure that lasts. And it makes it very hard to feel in control. Now, scientifically, it takes about 4 weeks without your drug of choice to restore the dopamine balance and the dopamine sensitivity. However, that does not mean that you need to lock your phone in a box for 4 weeks. It does not mean that you cannot have chocolate for 4 weeks, although that might be a really good idea. Both might be a really good idea. Any amount of less is better. A couple of things that I've been working to do is have more time without my phone in my hand or in my pocket. So if, like, if I'm outside with my kids, even though I feel the tension and I feel slightly uncomfortable, I'll leave my phone inside. And I almost do it not in spite of the fact that it feels a little uncomfortable, that I'd feel more comfortable with my phone in my pocket. Like, I don't know what I think is going to happen. I'm just used to it. I'm used to being able to entertain myself in a second. But I don't do it in spite of the fact that it's uncomfortable. I do it because of that. Because of that, I'm taking more car rides in silence. I'm challenging myself to go to bed without listening to a podcast. I go to bed before my husband so it doesn't bother him. And I'll just listen to a podcast until I fall asleep, and then he'll come in and he'll turn it off. Also, with food cravings, it's not a matter of like, oh, I need to be so disciplined and not respond to this. It's, oh, I see it. I feel it. Yep. I'm not going to let this rule me. I'm going to rule it. I'm not going to let this dominate me. I'm going to be in control of it. I'm going to ride it out. It's not pain in the true sense of, like, I've had pain, right? We've all probably had physical pain. It's just discomfort. And so restoring your sensitivity doesn't have to mean going 4 weeks without your substance of choice, though that might be something that you need to experiment with. Any improvement is improvement. We want to do these things with our kids for our kids, but, like, we need to do them for ourselves too, so that we can get our sensitivity back and experience pleasure from more modest rewards. Here's one of the things that happens if we don't do this and we're just in this constant dopamine, 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 entertain me, entertain me, entertain me. I need it, I want it, I have it. I need it, I want it, I have it. We lose a sense of cause and effect. We think we're just anxious. We think we're just tired. We think we're just moody. We think it's just because we're getting older. We think it's just because we hate our job. No, you're in a dopamine deficit state. That's why you feel that way. You think it's just who you are. You think it's just because your marriage is kind of crappy. Well, maybe your marriage is kind of crappy, but how you feel is being exacerbated because you're in this dopamine deficit state you created and you can fix. You think it's just your work. You think it's just that you're having trouble sleeping. You think it's just because your hormones are a little off. Okay, sure. And also, you've lost this sense of the fact that you put yourself in a dopamine deficit state, and you need to restore that sensitivity. You need to restore that balance, even if just so you can see it more clearly. There's a concept called a dopamine fast. And obviously, there's no way that you can abstain from all things that trigger dopamine, nor would you want to. But sort of those things that you go to the most that you have a hard time breaking away from. Phone, social media, sugar, maybe a particular sugar, like maybe it's chocolate for you, maybe it's ice cream for you, maybe it's Doritos for you. And you might need to take a break to restore the sensitivity. But what you don't want to do is kind of be on again, off again, and like, oh, I was off it for a day and now I'm binging for 3 days. Like, no, we don't want to do that. A lot of times we think of these kinds of behaviors as for some other motive, like, oh, well, I reduce sugar because I want to lose weight. Well, maybe you really needed to understand this dopamine relationship, and that maybe your depression, your anxiety, your irritability, your trouble sleeping, your general sense that life sucks is not just your life, but it's this dopamine deficit state you've created. And now you have a stronger and more compelling reason to step back from that thing. Here's another piece of the puzzle that I find fascinating and has become a huge part of my own practice in restoring this dopamine balance. So intentionally step into the pain side of the balance. And I'm not talking about like masochism here or anything like that. So what you want to do is incorporate behaviors where you're paying up front with something that's slightly uncomfortable. We'll call it painful because it's a pain-pleasure balance, but it's not like self-harm pain. You're paying up front with discomfort for the dopamine on the back end. So you're intentionally stepping on the pain side of the balance. Well, what are some things that do this? Exercise. Exercise is a great one because it's a little bit uncomfortable. It does step on this pain side of the balance, but you get the dopamine on the back end. So you're paying for it up front. So this is a great way to restore some of that sensitivity. You do still need to create distance between you and the things that are the very high reward addictive behaviors in your life, but also be intentional about more regularly incorporating exercise or cold therapy. That could be a cold shower. That could be a cold end to your shower. It could be a cold plunge, anything like that. Meditation is another one. Fasting is another one. These are things that help to restore this balance in addition to creating more distance and more space between you and those pleasurable activities that you've associated for yourself. But they balance things out and you pay for your dopamine up front. Exercise, cold therapy, meditation, fasting, just to name a few. Think of the things that you have a hard time stopping and start to create a little bit more space so that you're not just, yes, yes, more, now, right now, yes, I can, I will, I can't stop. More space, maybe a dopamine fast, and start incorporating more of the things that are on the, we'll call it, pain side of the balance, because you're paying up front and helping to restore that balance. Exercise, cold therapy, fasting, meditation, prayer, etc. A book to check out if you haven't already, it's called Dopamine Nation. It's by Anna Lemke. L-E-M-B-K-E. I'll link it up in the show description, but you can start with this today. Don't think that you need more information to get started. You can just hear that call, that phone ringing of, I want some, I want it now, feels a little uncomfortable, and just don't pick up the phone, right? You don't have to respond, and you can't respond if you want to restore this balance. You certainly can't respond as often and as quickly. If you've got questions about this, let me know, because I love this topic. I think that it is so incredibly important. I'd love to talk more about it. So message me on Instagram or shoot me an email if you've got questions about this, and we can do a follow-up episode if needed. Otherwise, I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.